Hunter from MAUK. Welcome to the Sugar Show. We are joined by Sean O'Malley today. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course.
Sean, you came into our lives. I think most people probably saw you first when you went viral for your knockout in LFA. And then shortly after, you were on the Contender Series, and we got two great fights out of you in the UFC. And then you may even be the most well-known for doing your interview on the ground with Joe Rogan, where you hurt your foot in your last fight. So we're almost 2 years on from there, right?
Right.
So what's the deal with USADA? It must be driving you nuts. We're hoping to see you back in there in March on the Adesanya-Romero card. But I heard on Ariel that you're still not even sure if that will go ahead.
I mean, it's official. It's signed. Both, like, it's on the card, but that doesn't mean much. So, yeah, hopefully it goes through and I get a fight March 7th. But, I mean, it is official. It's signed. I mean, I'm cleared from USADA. I'm cleared from the... Yeah. I'm cleared from it all. So, it is official, but so are the last two.
Yeah, exactly. So to catch people up who don't know, there were trace levels of Ostarine found in your system, and USADA have decided that 100 picograms or less of this is going to be an acceptable amount for not just you, but anyone to fight with in their system. And I believe that you've had some negative tests and then some come back with like 20 or 30 picograms.
Yeah. So I think that's the new rule for as of now, until Connor or a huge name tests for 101 picograms. Then they're like, oh, wait, I don't know if that's actually makes sense. So we'll see. I think they're doing their best and they're trying to figure it out. But I don't think the 100 picograms is necessarily the right way to go about it, just because, I mean, a picogram is a trillionth of a gram. I don't know if 101 picograms would be is performance enhancing, but yeah. I don't think they know. I know the scientists don't know, according to my lawyer and everyone that's been dealing with this. They said the scientists have no idea. They don't understand this. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, as long as I test for under 100 picograms, I'm able to fight.
And what's the highest amount of picograms that you've tested for so far?
I don't know. I'd have to look at my sheet. I tested over 100 one time, though. And so now if I test for over 100 again, I'll be considered my third failed test. Because the first time I got pulled off the card was below... It was less than Nate got tested for. The second time I got pulled off the card was less than Nate got tested for. And then all of a sudden, Nate tests for it. And now it's a whole new rule. So...
How'd you feel about that?
I think it was, I mean, it's good because it's obviously something going on that, like, everyone looks at Nate Diaz, they're like, look at Nate, there's no way he's on stuff. And then they say that I am on stuff. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going with the flow and hopefully get a fight March 7th and we'll see.
I mean, in a way, it's good for you because it means that there's a new rule that allows you to fight if it does pulse again. But on the other hand, you must be frustrated that it took Nate Diaz to change that rule.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it happened. I mean, I'm not glad it happened to Nate, but I'm glad it happened to a big star like that because they finally figured shit out to a point, though. So.
And the other crazy thing about this to me is you're originally on the card for 247, which is the card in Houston, and you got moved to the card in Vegas because the commission there will not allow you to fight with any picograms in your system, even though USADA have said that's fine. Is that right?
That's correct. I think it has to do a lot with politics, like whoever the commission is over there. They're like, no, we're not going to listen to the scientists, which are USADA. Yeah. So it's like a power hungry thing. The commission over there is like, no, we want control of the situation. We're not going to listen to the scientists. We're not scientists. We're fucking commissioners. we're not going to listen to the USADA. We're going to have our own rules. So it's just like politics and everything. It's stupid. I think it's immature. It's just like, how are you not going to listen to the scientists? Even I guess the scientists don't know either. So it's, I don't know, but it's Vegas said they're going to listen to USADA, which they should. And, that's why my fight got moved.
But the crazy thing about your fight being moved is that card's headlined by John Jones. So what happens if his picograms are pulsing?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I'm surprised they're doing that in Texas. We'll see. I guess we have a couple more, like a week or so, a couple more weeks to see. Or, well, next weekend, probably, huh?
Yeah, and you must be quite bitter. In every interview I've heard, you've said that there's been so much growth in this period that, you know, that's what stops you from feeling like this. But you must feel so bitter that you've been robbed of 2 years of your career.
I'm not, but just because of how good I've gotten. If I would have taken these 2 years and not gotten this good, then I would look back and be upset or be angry. But how good I've gotten in 2 years is, you know, I had two, like I said, I had my foot surgery after that last fight. I had hip surgery. So I got my body completely healed up. I got a strength and conditioning coach, and I've never stuck with a strict strength and conditioning workout. And I've done that, and I've upped my jiu-jitsu training a ton. So I'm not mad. It is what it is. It's fine. I'm not mad at USADA. I'm not mad at anything. It's just if I wouldn't have gotten this good, then I'd probably look back and be upset. But I've chose to progress the whole time.
What would you have done if you weren't allowed to fight again?
Well, I would have to go fight I'd have to go fight somewhere else. I'd have to go fight in Japan or wherever that they don't test. And then probably the only person not on steroids fighting in one of those organizations. But I don't need anything. Like I said, I said it on Ariel, I'm 25 years old. I slept 10 hours last night. I ate steak 4 times yesterday. I had 4 meals and they had steak in every one of them. I'm healthy. I'm so healthy. I'm strong. My mindset's so good. I sleep good. I recover good. I don't need performance-enhancing drugs. My lifestyle is just that. I live that lifestyle. I don't need anything.
I think, like, Nate, you're one of the few people that, you know, people hear that and just think, no, I don't believe that anyway. Like, you just, the way that you live your life, your healthy lifestyle, you're very upfront about it. And, you know, I don't understand why somebody who wants to do that much, you know, to ensure the health of their body would go down the PED route. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't, I mean, I don't understand steroids versus SARMs. I know what I'm testing for is a SARMs. And then, like, what TJ Dillashaw got busted for, like, he straight up stuck a needle in his ass and cheated. Yeah. Like, that's cheating.
Put into the same bracket as that in the kind of casual person's view?
It's okay. Just people only understand from their perspective. So I can't change what other people think or what their perspective is of it. And if I got upset about people, I'm like on Instagram, everywhere I go, people are saying something like that. But also you have to think, like, who are those people? Like, they probably don't even think that I am. They just know, they just have that energy in them, that negativity. Like, I feel like shit, so I'm going to try to make someone else feel like shit. And just knowing that's how people's brains work, it makes it a lot easier to understand why people do stuff like that.
Yeah. And how difficult does it make it to get ready for a fight and mentally prepare when you're not sure if you're actually going to be allowed to fight?
Yeah, I've had nightmares where I wake up like freaking out that my fight got pulled. It definitely plays a role. It sucks going into a fight thinking I'm probably not gonna fight. It definitely sucks because I went through 2 full training camps. Like, I wish if I wasn't gonna fight, I wish they'd tell me right now. Because, well, I mean, they're up to every time I get tested, I get the results back in like 2 weeks. So as far as right now, I'm still good. My tests are still good. I got tested a couple days ago. So in 2 weeks, I'll know what that test is. But
do you have anxiety over that? Because you never got to the bottom of what caused it. And sometimes they pulse and sometimes they don't, and it seems completely outside of your control.
Yeah, I did a 30-day no supplements, and wrote down a food log for USADA, sent it in, and I was still testing for 20, really low picograms, and they're like, what the fuck, we don't understand, like, why is this, we don't get it either. So it is stressful, like, I have to be so careful, like, which isn't that hard because I have a meal plan and all my supplements are NSF certified. But like, if I can't go out and grab a protein shake, a protein bar, like I can't work out and go to the grocery store and have anything with protein, anything with any kind of powder really. But yeah, I feel like I definitely, it caused me anxiety for sure. Cause I think about it every single day. And then every time USADA comes to my house and knocks on my door, I'm just like, fuck, like, this could be the one, this could be the one, yeah. This could be the one. So, yeah, it's stressful, but it's also a perfect time to practice. Like, I can't control anything other than what's inside of my brain. So, it's like, I'm causing my own anxiety, really.
Yeah. And also probably tough for your opponent, Jose Quinones, because he's prepared for, or the fight was announced with you before, and it fell through before because of this. And he's obviously accepted the fight again, but he doesn't know if he's going to be fighting you.
Yeah, I'm hopefully they have someone on backup ready to go, because that's not fair to him at all, obviously. I mean, even the fight got moved already from Texas to Vegas, so it's like, really, it's been changed twice. So hopefully they have someone on call for backup, and, you know, obviously that sucks for him to be in that position. And I think, I mean, he probably doesn't hear my interviews, he doesn't speak English, but so I do feel bad, especially for Marlon when I was supposed to fight him too. I felt bad for him. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I think they know I'm not taking anything. I don't understand how people would be so stupid to think for a year and a half I've been taking picogram amounts of Ostarine before my fight. Like, it just doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. Let's move on to something happier. Tell me about Quintet Ultra.
Yeah, the Quintet Ultra was super fun. Like, I've got to go out there and prove that I can grapple with good guys. Obviously, Gomi, in an 8-minute match, I made him frustrated, had him shoot, stuffed his shot, grabbed his neck and choked him. I have a really, really good high elbow guillotine, and I train with Augusto Mendez, who's no-gi world champ, best in the world at that weight class. Train with a bunch of other black belts, and so my grappling is extremely high level, and I got to go out there and prove it. Got to go grapple 8 minutes with Gilbert Melendez. Couldn't take me down, and if he did, he didn't get anything done on the ground. He got back up to my feet, so I got to prove that I can grapple at a high level, and it was just a ton of fun.
And I noticed that Hector Lombard's had a ton of good things to say about you afterwards. He said a few times on social media that he thinks you're going to be a UFC champ.
Yeah, I've heard. I remember a couple, like 2 years ago, me and Hector got a pick, and he was a super cool dude. But I heard from a lot of people that he sometimes can hurt people. He hurt people in sparring, but yeah, he was super cool to me. Here, just a sec. I have to go real quick. Sorry about that. Just a sec. Can I call you back in a second?
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I thought it might have been USADA again.
No, it wasn't USADA. They were here,
Monday.
Yeah, they were here Monday.
I know you said when you were on Ariel's show that they were waiting for you.
Yeah, they're always at my house, like at least 3 times a month.
Right, well, sorry, we've moved past that anyway, so let's regroup. Costume change for me, I'm on my way out the door to training as well. So.
Okay.
So I was going to say, the reason you're so popular, I think, is because you've got such a unique style, your kind of creativity in the ring, and like, kids look up to you because you're a gamer and you smoke weed and you're so cool, but like, there's... Everything else I see about you online is like super serious and super dedicated to your craft. Like, you seem obsessed with getting better.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, when I was a little dude, I thought, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain and hard to tell someone. Like, you feel like you're going to be something, like, big someday. And I've always had that feeling since I was, like, in middle school, high school. I never knew what it was because I wasn't fighting necessarily at that time. So I don't know. I just always felt like I was going to do something good, something big. And it's just always – and then when I found fighting, I realized, like, I was like, oh, that's it. Like, that's what it's going to be. And I came from Helena, Montana, where there's none – that's not a thing. So, yeah, I had to make the move to Arizona and literally just dedicated my entire life to training. And, like, I don't go out. I don't party. If I do, it's once, twice, three times a year maybe. Like, I don't go out. Friday night comes around, it's the same as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Saturday night comes around, same stuff, just different day. I don't think that's necessarily why people were attracted to me. Not a lot of people even really necessarily know that about me, how truly dedicated I am and how I try to make everything in my life revolve around fighting. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I think obviously, like, the crazy hair and being skinny, like, really skinny and tall, like, I don't know, it's something, I don't know, it's some of that energy, like, I don't know what it is.
It's your whole vibe, I think, your whole aura, and obviously the fights you've been in as well just excite people. But I think it's really, you know, good for kids once they do get drawn in and they start to learn about you, see that about you, because, you know, I think it's good to make dedication cool to people, right, who look up to you.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was going to say as well, I don't think there's many people, I can't think of anyone really, who could have had two actual UFC fights and been out of the cage for 2 years and still have people highly anticipating their return.
Yeah, that is crazy. It's been, 2 years, only two UFC fights, and I feel like after this fight, I'm gonna blow up. You know, Conor came in and took over, and I feel like this is almost like my debut again. Like, I'm about to go debut again and take over. So,
no one's forgotten you though, which I think is amazing considering how long you were around in the UFC at least, right, before it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything's been working out. You know, obviously, when I close my eyes and think about how my career is going to go, I didn't think about this being laid off for 2 years and everything. But like I said, the progress I've made, it makes up. I can't be mad at anyone because of how good I've gotten.
Yeah. Well, I asked on my social media for people to let us know if they had any questions to ask you. So I'm just going to read out a few of those.
Okay.
Somebody said they'd love to see you fight Nathaniel Wood. I don't know if you're aware of him. He's an English fighter. He's 3-0 in the UFC. He's got all finishes by submission, and he's got a fight of the night bonus as well.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Nathaniel Wood. I guarantee one day we'll fight 100%. I think he's a young kid. He's obviously dedicated and lives this lifestyle too, so 100% I'm sure we'll see each other up in the top five, even who knows, fighting for a belt. With guys like that, like other prospects, you got to build up, like, the business of the fight game. You got to build, I got to build up, he's got to win, I got to win, and then it's a big fight. So a lot of people want me to fight all the other upcomers right now. Doesn't make sense as far as the business goes, you know.
And I also feel like that we've got a Welsh fighter called Jack Shaw, who he won his debut fight and got performance of the night bonus as well. Would love to see you fight him in the future. But
who's that
again,
one?
Same thing.
Who's the last one you said?
Jack Shaw.
Oh, did he recently just fight?
Yeah, he fought in Copenhagen on his debut and got a performance of the night bonus.
Right on. Yeah, see, there's a bunch of up-and-coming studs, and there's already, like, the top 10's already stack. So yeah, the bantamweight division is gonna be badass.
It's an excellent division. So following on from that, who's one fighter in the division that you would love to face?
Whoever the champ is, like, that's the ultimately the goal, is whoever's the champ. Right now it's Cejudo. Who knows what's, I mean, I feel like he hasn't fought in forever. I don't know who he's fighting next.
He wants to fight Aldo. What do you think of that?
I think that's completely ridiculous. Like, I thought Aldo won, but he's coming off a loss.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty pretty crazy. It's crazy Aldo's even in the division. I forgot about that. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to get that Cheeto fight back too. That Jose and then Cheeto. I mean, I owe that to them. I owe them the little bit of popularity they'll get from fighting me. So.
And great fights for the fans as well. Both of those. So somebody else wanted to know, this is from when you were on the Joe Rogan show, what anti-inflammatory foods help with your back pain?
I don't know. I feel like just cutting out all the bullshit I don't have. Like, I feel for the back pain, I used to get it so bad, and it was just from the shitty food I was eating. It was just from the – I used to eat Pop-Tarts or –
like processed sugar.
Just processed shit anything. Just cutting out all of that and then staying hydrated and having my sleep on point. Like, all that stuff goes in my body. Just, it feels amazing. And I think, like, at night I stretch, too. I'll throw on an Audible for 15 minutes, like, the timer, and I'll just stretch, do some cat-cows, just kind of a flow stretch, wherever my body. People always ask me what stretches I do, but I just do whatever my body feels like it needs to do. Like, lately my hips have been extremely tight because I've been kicking a lot, running a lot, doing a lot, and my hips have been real tight. So I think just stretching and not eating processed food will change your life.
Yeah, 100%. This question, my boss always asks all the time, if you could change one rule in MMA, what would it be?
One rule in MMA?
Yeah.
I would say stalling. People get stalled, wrestlers on top, just stalling. They should be penalized or stood up if they're just holding or stalling, trying to just hold on for a win. I'd like to see that not happen.
Fair enough. Good answer. Is your foot back to 100%? Not that I'm sure you want to tell us if it's not right before a fight.
Actually, I cannot believe how good my foot feels in the last, I'd say, couple months. Because going into that fight with Jose and going into the fight with Cheeto, my foot was not good. It was not good. Yeah. I couldn't run. It was, but I was gonna fight because that's just my mind. Like, that's just what I do. But my foot was not good. I can say though, now my foot feels way better. I'll still have days where I have to rub it, massage it, like, and it still swells up a little bit, but I think that's, you know, every fighter deals with something like that, but no, my foot's finally actually healthy, and it's nice to be able to say that.
So maybe the time off of fighting may have done your body good.
It did, it definitely did.
Yeah. Who does the best weed, Tyson or Diaz?
Say that again?
Who does the best weed, Tyson or Diaz?
Oh, who has the best weed?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I've never had a Tyson. I was supposed to go on his podcast a couple of weeks ago. Or no. Yeah, like right around that quintet time, I was supposed to go there and check out his ranch and everything. And that fell through, though. But I don't know. I haven't had his either of their personal stuff.
Oh, that's bucket list then.
Yeah.
And one final question. Maybe I picked a bad photo of you to put up when I asked for questions. Somebody wanted to know why you looked like Michael Jackson in that photo.
that's what I did on purpose. I did that on purpose. I found that's a Michael Jackson replica jacket. I found it at one of the, like, a thrift store. So I had to cop it, and I knew the fights were coming up. So my girl did my hair up and made it look like that. So we did that on purpose.
Amazing. Sugar Sean, thank you so much for doing this interview. I really appreciate it. We're all buzzing to see you back in there on March 7th. It's an amazing card, and it's going to be an amazing addition having you back in the UFC where you belong.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for your time, Sean.
Bye.
Good luck.